We're recording.
All right, thank you. We are back in open session and we are on section number four, item number 11, 2434 in regards to Maya Bella Pianta and her attorney and her request for a motion for rehearing or review of an interim board order. Ms. Solomon, if you would like to start the discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This, the evaluation that was ordered was investigative. It was not disciplinary. It was in order to investigate a concern that had been reported, a written report to the board regarding behavior of the veterinarian during an interview for employment. So as a peer veterinarian was concerned enough to contact our office regarding this behavior. It causes concern because the initial, going back to some of the initial cases, 22-136, where we had unusual behavior. That is kind of a red flag that we need to know more about this and what may have caused it. We need to know that need the investigative evaluation and a determination as to whether she can safely practice veterinary medicine. And she was in the performance of being a veterinarian when she applied and was interviewed for the position, and she was communicating with a potential employer. So with that, anybody got anything to add?
Well, I don't have anything to add. I just want to clarify, though, that the communications didn't come up during the course of the actual interview. The communications were between the applicant and the employer after the interview. That's my understanding. Is that correct?
Yeah. But after the interview, but it was still...
Right, but she was communicating with...
A potential employer.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
And I think the only thing I would want to add is just, again, you know, this investigative tool that we have, you know, this having her go back to a doctor that she's already familiar with, that she's seen before, is really not overly punitive in any way. We are just simply, again, wanting to ensure that she is, you know, safe and competent to practice veterinary medicine. So I think
with that, I move we deny the request for rehearing and review.
Right. Second.
We have a motion and a second. I don't know, is there any other further comments or?
I guess I would just add in that the language itself was never an issue. It was the context, it was that somebody else brought it to our attention. It was the backstory that we can't unknow what we already know. So it's not that word. But and nobody's trying to keep somebody from saying that word. But on the other hand, if somebody yells the word help, then you do something. Reach out your hand, ask somebody else to help you, like an investigator. So it's not restricting. We're asking anybody to restrict what words they use. But I think we can use our own logic and our own experience to say, well, wait a minute, I need to look at this. Yeah. Not punish anybody, not do anything to anybody, but on the other hand, somebody asks for help, help them.
Yeah.
Good point. Okay, so we have a motion and a second to deny the rehearing request. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Okay.
And for the reasons previously stated in other matters regarding asking for a stay of the evaluation, I would just simply again indicate, because we have expressed an intent to take it up, we would ask for the evaluation to be stayed until that process occurs.
Okay.
Again, it's not disciplinary. So you want to stop an investigation that this board is doing?
I do.
I don't but I think it's this board's duty to investigate.
Procedurally, it's our position that we have to ask for a stay, and if you can vote to deny it, but, or take no action, but it would essentially be a de facto not granting my stay. I just need to be able to, in good faith, represent that we made an attempt to seek a stay before I seek a stay from Judge McKittish.
I didn't see.
Madam Chair, I would vote to take no action.
Okay.
Versus.
Yeah.
Because.
Right.
I think that appeal process has to play out, and we shouldn't.
Yeah, I would just.
A front end or back end.
Yeah.
Try to push that one way or the other, we just take no action.
Yeah, again, Madam Chair, members of the board, there's nothing before you at this one. It was only agendized for purposes of considering their petition for rehearing or review.
So we could take no action?
So we can't take any action?
There's nothing to do.
There's nothing to say, there's nothing to.
I appreciate what Flynn is, you know, verbally asking you to do, but it's not agendized for your consideration at this juncture.
Okay, well, yeah, so as far as the stay, yes, I understand, yes. So I withdraw my motion, and I recommend the board take no action.
Okay. All right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, folks, let's see.
See what we're on here.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we're gonna go back and finish this up. So we are on section number two, item number nine, 2441, regards to Clayton.
Are we doing the other, the informal, these for the informal with the court reporter?
Oh, yes, yes, number three, Jessica, okay.
Or it doesn't need to be, another.
It doesn't? The continuance of the informal.
Yeah.
So.
We don't always use her for the continuances.
Okay,
I just wanted to.
Pardon? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Victoria.
Continuance, we don't need.
We don't have to, okay. All right, well, I think you're off the hook then, so we don't have any other. Thank you, as always, for being here. Okay, so we are.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, we are on number nine, under the initial investigative reviews, Clayton Wengert, DVM. Tracy will read the summary for us.
Sure, case 2441, the complainant is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and the respondent is Clayton Wengert, DVM. At the October 18th, 2023 Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board voted to open investigation after reviewing premises inspections conducted at Miami Veterinary Clinic. And Dr. Wengert is the responsible veterinarian for the premise. This did not go in front of the investigative committee. It was brought to you for your review and consideration.
Alrighty, Mr. Lohe, you are the lead.
I've got a couple different directions I could go on this. But part of it is first I'll note, different from the most recent premise inspections that we brought forth to open a case, this has two instead of three that have repeat potential violations. And looking over the materials, yeah, there's some lengthy violations there. And only three are repeat, like two times. And I noticed there was a bunch of emails back and forth between Annalise and Shelby at the clinic. And I would be very interested in hearing Annalise's impressions of how fruitful that back and forth was in making some changes or not, or how confident.
She wasn't clear that anything that doesn't get intubated needs to be monitored. So at that practice, at that time, the doctor would use a drug cocktail to induce their patients, and then you would do a feline spay or neuter. And when I looked at the medical records, there was no monitoring on it. There was not even an initial, even if it's a cat neuter that takes 1.5 minutes, there still needs to be an initial value there. And there wasn't, same thing with the feline spay, there was no any sort of monitoring. And I did tell her, like, hey, these two things are surgical procedures, and that, I think it's H2, states that general anesthesia and/or surgery. So since those are two surgical procedures, there needs to be a heart rate and respiration rate taken immediately upon when anesthesia is administered. So she was then made aware. I think when Dr. Wanker responded, he states that yes, they were monitoring, but using an SpO2 monitor, and they just watch it. So I don't know if it's still not being documented in the medical record or heart rate and respiration rate, but I did tell the practice manager that I was communicating with. From what I gathered, I mean, this is just what I saw, is they would induce and then intubate, and they would put an endotracheal stethoscope in, and it talks to a machine and it takes values.
Yeah.
That's their monitoring. And since those cats and dogs don't get intubated, they really inherently didn't document any monitoring. And
there's no way to capture that from that machine?
No, because it's a stethoscope that goes with the ET2. So they'll intubate, and then they'll put this other thing down.
So it's real-time seeing what it is, but there's no stamp for what it is?
Correct.
Okay.
And so I did educate her, but then in Dr. Ranger's response, he said that they monitor using a different machine, but nothing is documented.
Yeah.
And then I did tell her about the expired controlled substances that were segregated. So I told her, like, yes, thank you for segregating them, but they were out on the counter since May.
Yeah.
Because they were marked as...
Still just as dangerous. They're outdated, right?
Yeah. So since the complaint came, there was a response saying that they sent to 123 compliance for reverse distribution. And then there was also a concern about the controlled substance lockbox being left open and his backstop ketamine euthanasia solution that was behind a surgery table cabinet just wide open. And that wasn't addressed from what I remember in his response. The practice manager said they'll make sure they try to lock it up better.
So,
and I think they figured out how to document their ketamine xylazine cocktail. Initially, at the time of inspection, they weren't logging it because they weren't sure how to log it. And then after some of those emails, they finally, hopefully, are logging it appropriately.
Because it looked like they were, they weren't tracking it after they made it, right? But they did take, I took this much ketamine and put it in the mix, I put this much.
Yeah, so I didn't know what bottle of ketamine that went to this bottle of ketamine xylazine sterile water.
Like, yeah.
There was really no trail to follow that bottle. And there was no, I guess, dispensation log for that one.
Yeah.
And then there was no, when she responded back, and I was like, no, I stated I need to know the recipe, so I need to know if you use 9 mils of ketamine, 100 mg per mil, plus 1 mil xylazine, 100 mg per mil, I think that's what it is, and then 10 mils of sterile water. Like, I need to know that information.
Yeah.
On that, and she finally got it.
And that should be on that.
That, yeah.
On that record that they keep, right?
Yeah, it should be in the medical record
and,
as well.
And labeled on whatever the container they put.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I am...
And I kind of have a question for clarification, because it's something I don't see often, and I just want to better educate myself. Masking down, gassing down patients as part of induction, I've in practice, I've seen it where they box down feral cats, and when it's practical to do so, they'll take that initial reading. Is it, how would I look for that initial heart rate and respiration rate when they mask down a geriatric, not fractious patient?
Well,
that's just something I don't see
you
often.
You don't need a machine to take a heart rate and respiration.
Correct.
So maybe in the case of a feral cat, a heart rate. You can
yeah,
even do
and
a
that's
respiration
kind of
where
that
feral.
Where it's like, if it's impractical to do so, if the cat's going to bite my hand.
Yeah.
Totally get that, but if you're doing a dental on a 13-year-old geriatric chihuahua,
right,
and you mask it down,
yeah.
When, because it says immediately after induction, so what is your induction point? when they start the flue gas, or...
Would it be the plane of anesthesia?
Yeah.
Is that the plane of anesthesia? So if you give the drugs, they get to the plane faster than if you're masking.
I just want clarification, so I know if I see it again, I just normally don't see it in that respect.
And then, like, why are we masking? But that's a whole other question.
I know.
And Jessica's sitting there like, oh. I said, why are we masking?
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole other, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's some, and a
lot of reasons.
Hopefully you don't get to see that.
Yeah. So there was one other thing in here they put on here. I did look up the propofol storage. And it kind of has an unusual, it doesn't say don't refrigerate, it says it's not recommended on the label. So that's kind of a quasi, right?
We've talked about this in board cases before, though.
Yeah, I mean, you should follow the, so it's not recommended, but it doesn't say don't do it. So if you did do it, is it a violation? Right?
We thought.
And it's quasi. But on the other hand, I think it's totally appropriate to bring that up, especially because these are not violations, they're potential violations, because nobody reads. I don't care who it is. You get apathetic and you say, okay, I've seen this 100 times. Nobody thoroughly reads the label every time before they crack open the period.
But don't we have, it doesn't say somewhere we're supposed to follow manufacturing guidelines.
Yeah, must be kept for manufacturing requirements.
Yeah.
And it gives a temperature range. I've used propofol in the past. It gives a temperature range of 40 degrees to 77. At the time of inspection, the thermometer that was inside the refrigerator was at 140 degrees.
Okay. So, and I have no idea why. I've never been in that using that product, so I have no idea why it would be in there.
Well,
anyway,
the problem with propofol.
Yeah.
The problem with propofol in the beginning was it could be contaminated very easily and there could be an organism in there. So now they changed it to where it's got some antimicrobials, if you will, I'm not even sure how. So the idea that you shouldn't refrigerate it would, for me, need a lot more explanation.
Yeah.
Because that's what the problem with it in the beginning was.
Yeah.
The issue was
there was no preservative in it, and so veterinarian, it was expensive,
yeah,
right?
Preservative.
And so we thought, oh, if we stick it in the fridge, it'll keep it from growing stuff, which maybe, maybe not. Yeah. We used it anyways, right?
Yeah.
Now we have the preservative, but a lot of practices still have the product without preservative because potentially cats can have an anaphylactic reaction to the preservative. And so
and you can
not
still get the old product.
Yeah, it's still available, but you can only
use.
It's only single use, so
single
you have
use,
to.
Like, okay.
Once you use it within 24 hours, I think it's labeled, then you have to discard it.
24 hours.
Yeah.
All right. So sorry, I didn't mean to go down a rabbit hole. So that was something that I would necessarily. I would put it as a potential for awareness. But when it came to the board, I wouldn't find a violation for that. That one little thing. So I am torn between all the discussion. There's only two, not three. Generally, our history has been we get three. We put the hammer down, and if it's controlled substances with three, we hit them hard with a hammer. So on this one, I'm torn between one, a letter of some concern, specifically to the monitoring for these surgeries, no matter how that induction is being done, no matter what anesthesia is being used or how it's being used, it still has to be, there's still a minimal requirement that needs to be done, period. And also in that letter of concern, I would have locking the controlled substances and not any expired products, having them, yes, great, you had it segregated, here's a pat on the back, but you can't just leave laying down either. So those are the main ones that I would get all over to make sure that, you know, that this stuff has to be corrected, it's gotta be done. And I would put those in letter of concern, or the option is, you find violations. And those would be kind of along those same line, prioritizing. Except I don't think I put in the, on the violations, I didn't highlight the monitoring. Well, because it wasn't one of the repeated. When I wrote the violations, I just used the repeated stuff. So I did errors 3222, 3216, as it relates to R311-502D and R311-502K3. So unless there's some strong objections, Madam Chair, I'm going to move to a letter of concern. In particular, dismiss this case with a letter of concern, but particularly in that letter of concern is going to be talking about the monitoring for anesthesia, no matter how it's done or what products are used, and the proper storage and handling of controlled substances.
Okay. So a motion to dismiss and issue a letter of concern. Is there a second or any further discussion?
Can I ask, was that ensuring that monitoring was documented when?
Documented, not just monitoring. He's claiming that he's monitoring.
Right.
He's not writing it down. He did document.
Document.
Not just monitor, document.
Regardless of the anesthetic use or and or surgery being performed?
Yes.
And do you want board staff to do an inspection?
Yeah.
Down the road to confirm that he's done those things.
Yes.
Yes.
That's why I would
follow
wait
up
for them the second cycle.
Yes. And the, yeah, we have voted on that motion.
Okay, yeah. So we have a motion. Was there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. There's no further discussion.
Well, if we could, can we add it now to ask if we can go back and?
We just direct them to do that. That's not.
Right.
Okay.
That's not part of our. Whether it's done or not.
Within the next 12 months. Just
yeah. I'm going to say that as soon as we get done with this vote, I'm going to say that.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
As promised. Madam Chair, I'm going to direct staff to do another follow up inspection within the next 12 months.
Okay.
Perfect.
Sounds good. All right. We are on section number three now. Number three, 23-112 in regards to Jessica Seibel, DVM, continuance of informal interview of October 18, 2023 for the purpose of receiving additional information and reviewing possible action to approve proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and adopting an order. Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Yes, so on the findings of fact, page 2, line 20-21, if somebody could look at that with me. It says she stated that complainant was argumentative and that a C-section was needed. Can we amend that was not needed? Or is that saying that? I got lost in the language of that.
Can you tell me which paragraph that is? I'm sorry.
Trying to find that.
On page 2. 2021, the line numbers. I believe it should say she stated the complaint was argumentative and that a C-section was not needed.
Or was he saying he thought it? Okay.
Well, so it says the respondent reported the dog was in distress, there was evidence of small amount of amniotic sac present. Labor is progressing in a normal fashion. Respondent attempted to reassure complainant that the dog was progressing as expected. So it sounds like it was respondent, we're referring back to the respondent. She stated that complaint was argumentative and that a C-section was not needed.
I see, we
right.
see why it's unclear.
Yeah.
So we,
right.
we can fix that.
Yes.
He said it was needed, she said it was not.
Right.
So I just wanted to make sure, is that, should I make that?
We can wordsmith that.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Okay, so, all right, so I just want to make sure I'm following this right. So, I'd like to make a motion to adopt the findings of fact as modified, for page 2, line 2021, to clarify that the respondent stated the C-section is not needed.
Second. Motion and a second to approve the findings of fact with that modification. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
And then I make a motion to adopt the conclusions of law as drafted.
Second. A motion and a second to approve the conclusions of law. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes.
And then this is usually where I ask for priors, but she has to say, yeah, I say, okay. Why not? Okay, thank you. So I would make a motion to issue the one year probation to obtain, I'm proposing 4 hours of CE in, I'm gonna say small animal dystocia and reproductive emergencies, just because.
But genetically mutated animals require.
I did not disagree.
Manufactured
with the
to eat.
That you were saying, but we're on a different page. So I make a motion for 4 hours, no monetary.
Second.
Okay.
Second.
And we have a motion and a second. Let's do a roll call for that, right, Victoria?
Yep.
Victoria, can you do roll call?
Sorry. Okay. Dr. Byrne.
Aye.
Ms. Krager.
Aye.
Ms. Frost.
Aye.
Mr. Logie.
Aye.
Dr. Nosley.
Aye.
Ms. Solomon.
Aye.
Dr. Thompson.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Yep. All right.
Good. Did we do that right? All right. Carrying on down to section 4. We are now on item number 5, 2361, regards to Christopher Dordo, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on continuing education completed in compliance with board order. Review compliance with order and may return license to active status.
Was this his second time he brought his plan to us?
So this is not his plan, this is he actually.
Yeah, or his complaint,
already been
yeah. Did I miss the client communication?
That's what I was getting at. I didn't see the
radiology.
I got the count, but I didn't get.
And the critical care, but I didn't see the.
Did that change when the committee came back the second time?
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Let's see. The original CE plan had client communication for 2 hours of hospice and end-of-life care.
Which is in there. He has a certificate for hospice and end-of-life care.
So is he supposed to take more than that?
So that would be, and that was 1 hour or 2 hours?
It was 2 hours. Well, the plan says it was 2 hours.
2 hour communication, 2 hours. 2 hours of medical record keeping, 4 hours of abdominal radiography, and 4 hours of critical care.
Which one's missing?
Radiology's there, the critical care is there.
Client communication was one that
I hospice and life care, I guess.
On first glance, I do.
Client communication, that's a stretch, but okay. Well, what else? How many hours is that?
Two,
I didn't print out the certificates, so I didn't find them.
Yeah, I had.
It should be 12 hours total.
And the hospice is 2 hours.
Oh, that was two, okay. If we accept that as client communication, then fine.
If that was approved in this plan, then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Radiology's dead, okay.
Oh, you already did that.
Mm-hmm. The medical records is there.
12 and a half hours adding up the certificates.
Okay.
Okay, well, so we.
I'm trying to find the medical records there. Medical record keeping. See one thing I don't see now.
Yeah, I don't see that either.
That's the only part I don't see any medical record.
So when we, at the October meeting, when he was asking to revise his plan, he said, "I was under the impression the 2 CE hours of medical record keeping were paid per hour. My mistake was that Bethelia requires a yearly prescription. I've searched hours looking for good CE for medical record keeping documentation. This is my revised plan for these two courses." And then, so the two that he submitted to replace the medical record that the board approved, the first one was focus on anesthetic safety diagnostics for patients with comorbidities and manage the ups and downs of monitoring diabetes in dogs and cats.
That's another stretch.
So he replaced it with.
But we approved the replacement.
Yeah.
The board approved it.
Okay.
Unless I misunderstood.
Are those two?
Yes.
They are, okay.
That's the whole thing, is it punitive or educational?
Well, it's the wrong end of the punitive.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's so much CE for medical records too.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Shoot, it pops up on my Facebook feed.
I'd make a motion that we accept.
Okay, second. Motion and second to accept Dr. Dordo's CE completion and returning him to his licensed active status. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion passes. Next one, 2327, regards to Roseanne Fiskett, DVM. Board may review, discuss, take action on continuing education completed in compliance with court order, review compliance with order, and may return license to active status. So she was the one, she had to do that exam that she just wasn't on top of, but she did finally complete it on October 30th, 98% pass rate. So we are merely returning her license to probation status though.
Correct.
Right, or no?
We're on the wrong one.
Oh, that's Jamie Pickett, sorry.
Roseanne Fiskett.
Yep, she's CE done, returned to active status. Sorry, I had myself here.
So moved.
Okay, motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion passes. Okay, now we are on Jamie Pickett, 2396. Board may review, discuss, and take action on compliance with consent agreement. Victoria, if you want to reiterate what I just said, I guess.
Mostly, yes. Madam Chair, members of the board, so after the last meeting, I, at the board's direction and vote, I did place Dr. Pickett's license on suspension status on October 25th. On October 27th, she was provided the exam upon her request. She did turn the exam around, and a couple days later, she did pass 98%. And because the board had voted at the time in October, I returned her license to active status once we saw that she passed the exam.
Okay.
so she's back on probation status.
Got it. Okay.
Thank you.
So we don't have to do anything then?
No, it was just to report out the results of the
sounds good. All right. Okay. Okay, next up, number 9, 23-114, regards to Anna Crummins, DBM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on continuing education plan submitted in compliance with consent agreement. This is in your supplement 1. Let's see. I put your plan looked fine, but.
Move to accept the plan.
Second.
Motion and a second to accept Dr. Crummins' CE plan. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Next up is 22-122, regards to David Pitkin at DBM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on compliance with consent agreement. May return license to active status. This is in your supplement 1 as well. So this is one where he had a consent agreement in Ohio, and so then we did it as well. He's never, Victoria, he's the one, though, that has, like, never even practiced here, right? He doesn't live here. He's, yeah, so. Anyways, a motion to just return his license active status since, again, he's not even practicing here. Okay. Motion and a second to return Dr. Pitkin to active status. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. All right. Now we are good on a bathroom break. Keep going. Okay. We are on section number 5 now. Number 1, board may review, discuss, and take action on unlicensed practitioner case C-2403 in regards to Alan Fielder. This is the same as the next one as well. We'll take them, vote on them separately.
These are the co-owners.
Okay, so this is the DPET hotels. They are the ones that were offering the Bordetella vaccine to customers and sent us a nice letter stating that they understand they're not supposed to do that and will cease offering that service to clients. So I think that seemed fine and believable to me, so.
Madam Chair, I move we close case 24-03.
Second.
Motion and a second to close case C-2403. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Same one. Board may review, discuss, and take action on unlicensed practitioner case C-2404 in regards to Alyssa Cruz.
Madam Chair, I move we close case C-2404.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Next up, number 3, board may review, discuss, and take action on veterinary license applications. The first one is Roy Cruzen, DBM. Ms. Solomon, you are the lead on them.
I was the lead on it. Actually, it's a misprint. So, veterinarian that was from Texas that failed to renew a Texas Department of Public Safety controlled substance license back in 2009 for a period of a year. And then they had some, later in that year, he had a board action and paid a fine. So Texas is different. They have like two different, they have a vet license that it sunsets with your birthday year, or birthday month, and then they have the Texas Department of Safety is if you want to administer controlled drugs, and it's just January to January, and they, like he says, they send a postcard, and they do like send like a postcard, so it's pretty easy to miss that. So I would probably make a motion to approve him for veterinary license application.
Second. Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Next one is Adrian Pesce.
In the case of Adrian Pesce, DVM, He had an infraction when he was a minor that had been expunged from his record in the state of Arizona, so I would make a motion to approve his application for veterinary licensure.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. All right, number four, board may review, discuss, and take action on International Council for Veterinary Assessments updated NAVLE, North American Veterinary Licensing Examination, retake policy. And this is just merely an FYI item. I don't know, Victoria, if you want to, everybody read it, but I heard about it at AAVSB last month.
Just one thing, just to point out, in the upcoming months when the board starts the rule review process that we hope to do, this is a rule that board may want to institute to limit the retakes to 5 years, so it does match the ICVA and most other states' policies, because now we don't have a limit, so it's probably not the best practice.
Okay.
Thank you.
So it's not a limit on how many times we have to retake it?
That's right.
Okay, so we don't need to...
No action.
Just, okay. Okay, next up, number five, board may review, discuss, and take action on premise inspection results. Victoria?
Yeah, members of the board, so this is an inspection that Todd and I did, what we call a random inspection. It had been, I think, since 2015, since it had been inspected. This is an AHA hospital. We're just recommending that the board direct us to do a follow-up inspection. The place was not as clean as it is expected. Multiple expired items, drugs, controlled drugs. There were problems with the physical condition of the building as far as looking like part of the ceiling was going to cave in one rather than in the boarding area. Not necessarily appear to be the safest area. So that's why we're just asking to be redirected to go back again within the next year.
Okay. So moved. Okay. Next up, number six. The board will conduct a performance evaluation of Victoria Whitmore, Executive Director. The evaluation will include discussion, review, and possible action related to compensation. This happens in executive session, and there's some information in your supplement one, so I don't know, is everybody's...
Do you guys want to move to go into executive session?
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry. We should do that. I make a motion that we go into executive session to...
For legal advice.
Well, no, yeah. Not really, yeah. So
For employee relations, for yeah. Employee performance?
For personnel matters.
Personnel. Okay, and there's I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. No, nope.
She's gonna hand over the recorder.
Yeah. Mark's staying.
One second.